It's so important for us to tell our kids the truth about sex as it is from a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And it's not something to be embarrassed about or feel shameful. And that is actually an antidote to pornography.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode number 25.
Welcome to See, Hear, Love. I'm your host, Melinda, and we are coming straight at you and to you from our studio at the Crossroads Unity Commons in Burlington, Ontario, Canada. And this is a topic that I've been thinking about over the past 10 seasons that I have never, ever talked about. We've never had a guest about this. So now is the time, because today we're talking to our kids about porn. Yes, that's what I said, porn. And what better person to have in the studio here with us than Greta Eskridge, author, speaker, podcaster, and mom of four, who's here to help me and you equip us to have age-appropriate and honest and hopeful conversations about pornography with kids of any age so that we can help our children develop lifelong sexual integrity. And yes, we want that for our kids. So her latest book, It's Time to Talk to Your Kids About Porn, A Parent's Guide to Helping Children and Teens Develop Sexual Integrity. Greta helps us push through, okay, this is perfect, the awkwardness, because I know you're like, that's awkward, and overcome the fear of saying the wrong things or worrying about how to start an uncomfortable conversation or answer uncomfortable questions about sexuality and about porn. So she's bringing practical tips, scripts for conversations, a resource guide in this book so we can move from fear, I love this, and frustration to yes, hope and confidence as we support our children in a God-honoring life of sexual health and wholeness. Whew, it's a lot, Greta, but welcome. I had to get that out and gush about you, but welcome to See Her Love.
Thank you for having me. I am thrilled to be here.
Okay, Greta, I'm looking at you. Amazing jewelry, awesome shoes, and definitely you're gonna have to check out our Instagram to see these awesome shoes and some of our behind the scenes. But an unlikely porn fighter. Let's start with that. How, Greta, did you become this unlikely porn fighter? And I'd love to hear your story about how this came to be and how you were like, I need to write this book to help other parents.
I need to talk about porn.
Yes, I need to talk about porn. Because I don't think that was on your, like, when you were little, like, that's on my bucket list and things that I'm going to accomplish and do.
Never.
Okay.
I grew up, I'm sure, as many of your listeners can relate to, in a Christian home where we really didn't talk about sex or definitely not porn. Just our parents at that time did not have a lot of tools. And so it's kind of just like, we're going to tell you, you know, the most basic information and then we're not going to talk about it again. Right.
Yeah. Can I just insert? So I got a book where it said, and then mom and dad created a baby and it was like a picture of a hump in a bed, like two people with a blanket, and that was it. And then a baby came.
Wow.
That was my like sort of sex education.
Yeah. I think that that's so common. So pornography was not something I really knew about or ever actually had to deal with. I was really fortunate. It did not impact me as a child, a teen, even a young adult. And it was not something I felt comfortable talking about. I couldn't even imagine saying the word pornography out loud in front of my husband, let alone friends or strangers. So unlikely porn fighter is definitely the right description for me. But quite a few years into marriage, my husband and I had three little kids, and he came to me and confessed that he had a porn addiction that had led to an affair. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, it was absolutely devastating. Also, I had no category for understanding how this man that was a good dad, a good husband, a provider for our family. He loved the Lord. He went to church with us. Like, how could he be a person who used pornography, be addicted to it? Mm-hmm. How could he have engaged in an affair? It just didn't make any sense. And so what I found was I needed to learn to understand how pornography impacts the brain, how it impacts mm-hmm. the person who's using it. Because I wanted to understand what led Aaron down that road. I wanted to help him heal. I wanted to heal. I wanted us to stay together. We both did. And so that set us on this journey of restoration and healing, learning a ton, and then deciding how could we do something different for our kids, give them better tools than we were given. So maybe we could help them avoid the things that had happened to us. And from there, I started sharing with friends because I was like, I can't keep this information to myself.
Yeah.
I needed to let others know what I was learning because I wanted like us to be a team for our kids. Like all the moms gathered around to give our kids something better. And eventually I was like, babe, I would really like to write a book and share our story. And the first time I told him, his eyes got wide and his face got white. And he's like, I am not ready for that. It's very vulnerable.
Yeah. Yes.
But I just kept praying and the Holy Spirit would say, wait, over and over. And it was like 15 years I've been praying. And
15 years. This is 15 years in the making.
15 years in the making.
Wow.
And the Lord just... He's sovereign. Like he had a plan of even when it was the right time for the book to come out. And so here we are now. God is amazing.
Yeah.
He has a plan.
So let's go back because I guess my question is like, why porn? Mm-hmm. Like when I think of porn, and again, this is just me learning and processing with you. Okay. Greta, it's like, and it's awful. I mean, it's like, is it an addiction? Is it like, instead of porn, could you go jogging or exercise? If it's not porn, could you go shopping or, you know, I'm just wondering why that, and I think why, but I'd love to know like, what is the pull towards that? And especially in a relationship where you know it's going to be devastating because you're looking at other people.
Right. Pornography is incredibly enticing, and Satan is wise, really. It seems like that's the wrong phrase to use to describe him, but he wants to take this beautiful thing God created for us, for our good, sex between, you know, a husband and wife, and distort it and destroy it. And if he can attack people, especially from a young age, by having them be exposed to pornography, which is, like I said, incredibly enticing, that he can just take them down this road that is hard to step away from. And with addiction, yes, you could be addicted to shopping. You could be addicted to exercise, gambling, alcohol, pornography, so many things. And really what addiction is you're filling a hole, right? There's a void there. There's hurt. There is depression. There's anxiety, stress, sometimes boredom even. And you're looking for something to fill that void. And, you know, for certain people, pornography is the thing that they get, you know, stuck in. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to step away from it because it creates such a powerful hold, even to making like inroads in the brain. There is like growing research in the way pornography impacts the brain, and it shows that it's incredibly addictive. So like learning those things gave me so much compassion for my husband, even though I would never say, oh, it's not his fault. Of course, those were decisions that he made and we've come to terms with that, but it still gave me compassion for what drove him to this and how trapped he was by it.
So this is so interesting because I'm thinking about people who are listening, watching, that are like, I have a porn addiction, but I'm so full of shame that I can't speak or tell anybody.
Yep.
So what made your husband tell you? Was it because he felt that you were safe, that you wouldn't? Because again, on the other side, we need to be people like that so that people who are addicted and are feeling shame would feel safe to come out and say, I'm struggling with this.
Yeah.
But I know that there must be lots of shame because you're hiding in the darkness. You're dealing with this. Like, you don't want to tell people about it.
Right.
Especially in the church or in Christian spaces.
Definitely.
It's like, oh, yeah, I struggle with pornography.
Yes. I mean, I would say it's been 15 years and my husband has experienced freedom, healing, redemption, restoration in our marriage. He helps other men now.
Amazing.
But still deals with shame.
Yeah.
Because it can be crippling. Satan wants us to hide God's good story by telling us the lies, like, oh, if people hear what you did, they will never forgive you. They won't love you. They'll judge you. Like, imagine, like, holding on to that, even though you know, I've actually found freedom, but still there's this voice in your head that says, you'll never be free. And that's part of why I wanted us to share our story and why Aaron ultimately did too, because we wanted people to know there is freedom.
Yes.
Satan wants you to hide. Even if you found freedom, he wants you to keep hiding and believe that you are shame-filled. But that's not how God sees you.
That's the lie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the lie of the enemy is shame, fear, isolation, hiding. Yeah. Where God gives us freedom and life and restoration.
Yes.
But then for you, Greta, because there's a lot of women, I can see a lot of women freaking out, maybe even kicking their partner, spouse out, pointing the finger. But what was it with you where you're like, no, and then for him to have an affair, you're like, no, we're going to work on restoration, because that's not a, that's a story in itself too. Because there'd be women and men on both sides who people have had affairs and say, no. No, we're done. And for some, it may be the way.
Yes, I agree.
You chose this way. So talk to me through that, because I think that's beautiful. And that speaks a lot to you and your character and what you desired for your life and relationships.
Well, I think a really important point was that my husband was repentant and he was honest and he was willing to change.
Yes.
If he had come to me and said, this happened and deal with it, I'm not changing. That's a very different story. And so to be able to have that foundation was very helpful. It did not mean that it was easy to move forward. It was incredibly painful. I remember that there were days where I felt like if I could get through an hour without being angry or panicked, filled with fear, anxiety, then that was a triumph. And I would pray, God, these are too big for me to carry. I can't hold this, all of those feelings, but you can. And I would give it to God over and over. And it was exhausting, but it was also the most intimate time of my relationship with God. And I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 3 years old. I've been a Christian my whole life, but I knew him in a way that I had never known him before in that time. So it was the most painful, but the most beautiful with God. Like, it doesn't make sense, right?
No. And I hear you,
it's heavenly math.
Yeah.
But I do recall one moment in particular where, you know, I just wasn't sure, like, could we really move past this? Could we really heal? And I was driving by a park. I had my three kids in the back of the car. They were little, 5 and under.
Oh.
And I just felt like the Lord reminding me of the story of Esther and her stepping into this thing that felt too hard, but she had been called for such a time as this. And it was like, this is your calling. Keep working. You work. Aaron will work. I'll work. And it will be hard. And it has been hard. I would never gloss over that and try to say that it was all, you know, lollipops and sunshine. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was hard work, but God was with us in it, and so I felt like this was my calling to step into restoration with my family, and then into sharing with others, because I care not just about Aaron and our kids and their freedom and their wholeness and their opportunity to have sexual integrity, but I care about every single kid out there and every family. I genuinely have such a heart for people who have been hurt by pornography.
That is so beautiful.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Here Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seehearlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Here Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherelove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Here Lovely and join our See Here Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
You know, Greta, there's so much. I mean, we could be here for hours because there's so much I could unpack with you. Because I think one thing that I'm just taking from you is so many times we shy away or run away from the hard thing. But I always felt, even in my own life, you know, I made some very bad decisions. And I've talked before about my prodigal years and the hurt that I, you know, have done to my parents and the hurt that's been done to me through a very public divorce when my husband didn't love me anymore. And I'm in ministry and so many things. Mm. But I have always felt that when I chose to go through the hard, it was like my relationship with Jesus was so much sweeter and closer. I was strengthened in more ways where I was like, whoa, like I can do this. Yeah. And then taking my story and the redemption of the story and the restoration of my story and then speaking it out.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's like, God was like, because it's not your story, it's our story.
Yeah.
Like you can't hold our story back.
Right.
And so I just am so proud of you to be stepping into this place, because sharing that part is like, even when I go and tell my story, Greta, there are times where I'm standing in front of women. I'm like,
yeah.
You're going to judge me. You're going to think of something. And God will be like, no, this is what I have for you to share, because that one woman there may need to hear it.
Yes.
That one child may need to hear it. That one mother struggling for you with pornography in her house is going to need to hear it. So thank you for just being courageous and saying yes to this, because I know it's not easy. And so thank you for just doing the hard work of this and to your husband. So now, hearing that in the foundation, Greta, it makes so much sense to do this book and to be this, you know, the unlikely porn fighter, because it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So let's go there, because now that's like you've had the experience. I love this quote where you say, "It was clear to me that parents, especially moms, weren't opposed to talking to their kids about pornography or listening to me talk about it, but they wanted guidance, help," I love this, "and hope."
Yes.
"They wanted someone on their team, and I, Greta, was ready to step up and be that person." So let's talk about that, because I think for women and men, they're like, yeah, it's awkward. So let's start with, I found my kid watching porn on their phone or on their computer. What do I do?
Okay, so first,
there's so many stories, but I want that one because I think that's the one that I've heard from some of my friends where they found it and they were like, "Do I say something? I haven't said anything. I'm freaking out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should tell my husband. I don't even know what to do." That's the person. Let's start with them to talk to that person, that parent.
I think the first thing is to acknowledge that you are going to feel all kinds of feelings. You're going to feel maybe disappointed or angry.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel sad, scared. Maybe you have it brings up your own hurt because you've experienced this in some capacity or have been hurt by pornography. So all of those feelings are going to rush into your body, and that is understandable and okay. And so I always encourage, you know, a parent who discovers pornography in their kids' lives to just take a moment and to, you know, to cry, to pray, to mourn. But then to give those feelings to Jesus, because he can carry it.
Yeah.
And then to invite the Holy Spirit into that moment so that they can approach their kid not out of those feelings, but from a place of compassion and grace and love, because that is what your kid needs the most at that moment.
That's good.
And it is very hard to do. It's very hard to do. But we know we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That is not just some, you know, pithy saying that you see on a sign, you know, in somebody's house or at church. It's the truth. And so to invite the Holy Spirit to give you compassion, to give you gentleness, to give you grace, And then, yes, to talk to your kid. The temptation is to say nothing. Mm-hmm. We want to hide from the hard things, but man, we need to talk to our kids in that moment and to say, hey, I saw that you've been looking at pornography. I saw it on your phone, your tablet, whatever. And we need to talk about it. And then to say, I'm so sorry for what you've seen. You might be feeling hurt or scared or confused. You might feel like drawn to this thing, but then also repulsed. I know you've got a lot of things going on in your head and your heart right now. I want to help you. Like,
that's good.
Wow, right?
Because then it's not like the child is not going to be defensive or reactive or try to. It's like you're coming with grace and understanding.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's good for a parent to say, no, we're going to acknowledge and talk about it.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, to say, I want to help you, because then that child knows, obviously, that you're going to help them stop and not continue with this behavior, but also that they don't have to try to navigate this alone. You're on their team. That's really powerful and really important. And so if, as a parent, you can come at this moment in that way, that's an incredible foundation you've laid with your kid, even if they're defensive or they try to still hide it from you because they're dealing with shame, right? Mm-hmm. And fear and anger. You've betrayed. You looked at my device.
Yeah.
Like, all of those
yes,
reactions.
That 100%.
Could be
yeah.
real. Like, those reactions could happen. But it doesn't have to change your posture of, we need to talk about it. You need help. Pornography is dangerous. It's bad for you. It hurts you. It hurts others. I want to help you not continue. That needs to be the foundation of that moment of discovery.
And then what's the next step? If the child is like, okay, well, first of all, you found me out, so mm-hmm. there's going to be that.
Yeah.
But then they're like, yeah, my friend from school showed me this, and that's mm-hmm. how it started. They were like laughing. We saw it. And then, you know, that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
And there, I guess there could be like levels where they could be really addicted, or they're mm-hmm. just starting, where they were just curious.
Yes.
What are some of the steps on that kind of help? I know there's one where it's if they're extremely addicted to then,
right.
I just looked at it because my friend sent it to me, mm-hmm. but then I was like, interesting. Like, what kind of are the help steps in that space?
It's really important to, if you can, determine like what they've seen or the extent of what they've seen. So to that, like, to know, this was just a one time. They were looking up girls in bikinis, and then it took them down a rabbit trail, and they saw more than they were bargaining for. To, we've been looking at extreme pornography for months. Like, those are two different situations.
Mm-hmm.
So to determine the length of what, or the amount of what they've seen, what their exposure has been, so that if it's just been, you know, a single time or a couple times, you can deal with that on your own as a parent with the tools that are, you know, you could find in my book.
In your book, yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But if it's been months of exposure and it's been, you know, pornography that is violent and vile, then they're probably going to need counseling.
Okay.
So to determine, you might look at history, you might ask them questions, try to get as much information as you can, and then you're going to want to, from there, help them create new habits. Like, what are your triggers? If you feel like you want to look at pornography, what are some things we
can do?
That's
good. Mm-hmm.
Who can you talk to? Not just me or mom as your accountability partner, but who else can we engage in this? And then moving on to, how do we create safer boundaries with screens in our home? We need to not just change passwords. Do we need to install accountability software or other kinds of, you know, protective software on our devices? So all of those things need to be done, and you just take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it all that first hour that you found something.
Yeah. Don't overwhelm yourself.
Yes, or your kid.
Yeah. No, that's really good. You know what I am hearing from you, Greta, and I think for every parent, is that being a parent, it takes the choice to be intentional to do these things, to walk with your children through these things. And I'm not trying to like call out parents who don't, but you know, in the time I've been doing this work, you know, there have been parents who've said, yeah, I'm not really involved. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of like let the school or their friends or the youth pastor kind of deal with the kids, because I'm overwhelmed and I'm dealing with my own things. You know, and I'm not saying as far as, because, you know, life is hard, especially now. There's so much stress, financial, political, the world. So there's a lot of stress on parents. However, what I'm hearing is this is important. Like, parents need to choose to say, you know what, I need to spend the time. It might take some work, but that's what it's going to take to ensure what you've said, you know, sexual integrity and you know, not seeing your child be addicted to this.
Yeah.
And just letting them kind of like go about life without your input and care and God within it too.
Yeah.
I think that's really encouraging because I think, you know, and again, even on the show, you know, I always say like, we are giving you the tools, but you have to choose.
Yes.
Like, you can't just think life is just going to happen and everything's going to be better without the work and the choice to do this. And that's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, and even if you have failed so far and you're like, oh, my kid's 15 and I've never talked to them about porn, it's too late. And I always tell parents, it's never too late. You could have a kid who's a young adult and you've never talked about this. And that's such an amazing time for you to be honest as a parent and be like, hey, sweetheart, I have not talked to you about pornography and I should have. I should have had this conversation with you years ago. I'm sorry. You've probably heard about it. Maybe you've even seen it. You've heard from other people what it is, but I want you to hear from me what pornography is. And I want us to have a conversation because I want you to know what to do if you see it. Because yes, your 10-year-old or your 8-year-old needs to know what to do when they see porn, but your 15-year-old or your 20-year-old, they need to know too. They need to be given tools just the same as a little kid does.
It's good.
It's never too late for us to talk to our kids or to one another.
I love that. Okay, so we have that. So we have children that have seen it, and that's great advice. And again, going to and we'll talk about getting your book because every parent needs your book. When would be the right time to talk to kids about sex and the dangers? So we have young children, because this is actually a question that I get a lot.
Yeah.
Like, when is the time to talk about sex? You know, Chris and I, my husband, had a really hilarious and honest talk about sex with our kids, and it was awesome and so wild. And if they were all embarrassed and awkward at the table, they were a little younger, but it was actually really healthy because I'm like, we're the ones that we should talk about it. We don't need to be embarrassed about it. We want to talk about the whys and the nots and all those things. And it was really great because afterwards our kids were kind of like, we never thought of it that way. And it was kind of weird and cool that you guys talked to us about it, even though, you know, in grade 8 we did have like sex ed, but it was just about, you know, honestly, like condoms on bananas and that was it. Like, that was, I was like, that's your sex ed. That's what you are telling me back. Like, you don't have anything else to talk to me about. So it was really great that we, Chris and I, felt really comfortable. That was something that the two of us talked about. But what would you say to, you know, families who are like, I'm so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I never had the sex talk from my parents. The church feels awkward to talk about it. I thought the youth group were going to talk about it and they haven't. So it's on us. So what do you think as far as age or maybe its stage, and how do you go about it with both parents? I think both parents need to.
Yeah.
How do we do this? Help us, Greta, because there's a lot of us going, you're good. It's just a subject we've been like skirting around for a while.
Well, I think I'm glad that you actually asked about how do we talk about sex, because I think a lot of people are so confused and they feel like, well, we're talking about pornography. My kids don't even know about sex yet. Why would I talk to them about pornography? And that's a great place to start because your kid does not need to know about sex to know that pornography is bad. When you tell them this is what pornography is, this is what you do if you see it, you're not mentioning sex. You're not talking about sex. They don't need that information. When they're older, that will be a part of the conversation. But in the beginning, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that, I think, needs to be cleared up for parents. But then as far as sex goes, it's so important for us to tell our kids the truth about sex as it is from a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something to be embarrassed about or feel shameful. And that is actually an antidote to pornography, because pornography wants to say sex is for you. It's selfish. It's self-centered. You use people. You abuse people. It is not God's plan for sex at all. It twists it. And so when we tell our kids the truth about sex as God created it, we're telling them pornography is a lie, even if we haven't had that conversation yet.
Right.
So it's an incredible foundational piece. And that's why I think the creating a healthy sexual culture in your home. It doesn't start with one sex talk when your kid's 12 or 8. It's actually little conversations that you have from the time they're, you know, 2 years old, and you're teaching them all the names for their body parts, and they're not...
And proper names.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you for saying that.
Real names.
Because there are things where I'm like, people have given like other names to stuff, and I'm like, what is that? Yeah. And it's confusing. So for our kids, we've been, I mean, my husband's very, and I love it. Like, he's had a talk with, you know, with Nathan when he was young. Like, my husband's very much into that. He's not like, we're not going to have a talk. But we are very clear about the correct names for the body. Because it's like, calling it other things made it weird. And then as they got older, they would hear the right name and they're like, what? And then it became jokes. And then it was awkward and embarrassing. And I'm like, why don't we just start with the correct names?
Exactly.
So thank you for saying that. Yay, Greta.
Yeah.
Okay, because I think that's super important.
And that creates this sense of we're not embarrassed of any part that God made. God made every part of our body for a purpose. We're designed and made in His image.
Yeah, I love that.
So when we create that culture in our home from the times our kids are young, we're saying to them, hey, every part of you is beautiful, made in God's image, worthy of respect, worthy of protection.
That's good.
And honor. Pornography does none of those things. So even before you get to pornography is bad, you're creating in them this knowledge, this deep understanding of your body is made in God's image. You are worthy of respect and honor and protection, and so is every other person.
So
their
good.
Bodies. So those that ultimately, you know, when your kid hits puberty, if you haven't told them about sex and how their body's going to change, that would be a great time to have that more full conversation. But if you've been having these other little conversations all along the way, it's not going to feel like, whoa, I'm overwhelmed, mom, dad. Why did you tell me all of this at once? Instead, it's just these small conversations that happen naturally, organically. It's so much easier.
So we have, so body parts, right names.
Yes.
And then when they're developing, I think it is. It's like talking about the body and like our kids, it's like hair and just different things. And it's like, you know, it's good as I'm not embarrassed about that. My husband isn't either. I know that other people are very uncomfortable, but it's like you're being uncomfortable then makes the kids uncomfortable. Because I've heard that from some other kids. They're like, my parents were so uncomfortable, which made me uncomfortable. So the talk was really uncomfortable. Whereas we've kind of at it where it's like, this is what happens. So even with like Sophie getting her period, it was sort of a bit of a celebration, and then it just, you know, she decided to just tell everybody, so her brother knew, so, I mean, I know
which
this is weird,
so
but it's so healthy.
It
so
is.
It's like, when it happens, it's like, oh, okay, she has her period, she's in, you know, she's in sync with Mel, like, and it just becomes something very normalized so that we all know it's not like something like taboo, and it's like, we don't talk about a period. It's like, this is a woman and her body every month.
Yeah, and it's the way her body was designed to work.
Exactly. Like, so why are we being all like, you know? And so I love that. It's like destigmatizing what, you know, I think in some church cultures, they've really done that. And they've done a really disservice to women and men in that regard to almost making it shameful to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so that's caused a lot of, you know, I think issues.
Yeah, but one of my favorite quotes says, we should not be afraid to discuss what God wasn't afraid to create.
Oh, and I love that.
That is so true. Like every part of our body, all the systems, all the things we do, the way that we work, and sex, like none of those things should be embarrassing or
good.
Or something that we say is bad to talk about, because God made it for our good. Like, you have a period so you can have babies. Like, that's an incredible gift. Like, and it does all kinds of other stuff too that is important in our bodies. And to be able to share that with our daughters and our sons is really important.
I think that's really important. So to the parent who still is like, I'm still embarrassed, I'm awkward, what's your encouragement? Like, because there are.
Yes,
you know,
course.
There's definitely a lot who are like, I don't want to say anything. Yeah. It's so awkward. I don't even know. Like, what's your encouragement? Because I think after hearing all of this, Greta, and in your book, it's like, it is so important that we engage with our kids in this. And again, like you're saying, in pornography, but also in healthy sexuality. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. And so what would that look like in the choices that we make in relationships when we're getting all like, and we're, you know, with a boyfriend, saying no and stopping is great.
Yeah.
Like, so all of those things, but to the parent who's like, I still feel awkward.
I think that my hope is by talking openly about pornography and sharing that there is hope on the other side of the darkness of pornography, that will give parents courage to plunge in and have the conversation, but also to be really honest about the harm pornography does. Mm-hmm. Pornography, like I said before, it impacts the brain, causes literal brain damage in the brain of a person who's consuming pornography. It impacts the way we see our fellow human beings through objectification. That changes the way we see other people, and it turns them into objects that we can use for our own pleasure, for our own satisfaction, and then cast aside. And that doesn't just happen like when you're viewing pornography. It begins to then impact your relationships and the way you see your spouse, your partners, your family, even strangers, because you begin to have this idea of, I will use people for my own, you know, gratification. What can they do for me? And if they're not serving me, they're out.
Yeah.
So it changes the way we see people. Pornography causes things like depression and anxiety because of that shame, hiding. So parents need to know that there is a cost if we're not having these conversations with our kids. And sometimes it can feel scary for me to share that information because they're like, oh, I don't want to hear that. But it's important for us to know that this is something so important. We can't avoid the conversation simply because it's awkward. And if you feel like it's so awkward, I can't do it, that's why I wrote this book, because I want you to have tools. So if you're like, I don't even know where to begin, I wrote a script for you. You could read it word
so
for word.
Good.
And you could say, I don't know how to do this by myself, but I have this script right here and I'll read it. You're not alone as a parent. You are not alone in this awkward conversation. I'm here with you, but most importantly, God is with you in it. And he will equip you for the battle at hand, because I truly believe that this is a battle.
Amazing. Greta, we're going to put all the information about how to get your book on all of our social media, website, all of those things. But I loved this conversation. I could talk with you forever and ever. There's tons more questions. But I think, you know, as you're saying that, I was going to ask you about, you know, how does this affect future generations? I think you answered that. If we don't, look at what could happen.
Yeah.
If we don't, we'll have more young people turning into adults full of shame. We'll have, you know, kids going and choosing pornography to fill voids and other feelings. And so it's so important. And I've heard this from you so strongly. It's so important as parents and aunties and mentors,
yes,
and
amen,
grandparents,
yes,
right?
Yes.
All the people.
Every person should care.
Every person should care about this. And not to be afraid. Listen, we're all in the same boat. So if you're awkward, we're awkward.
It's awkward.
It's awkward.
Okay.
So get over it.
Let's just say that.
It's awkward. Let's get over it. Let's do it. And so thank you for writing this book. It's Time to Talk to Your Kids About Porn, A Parent's Guide to Helping Children and Teens Develop Sexual Integrity. And you have got tips, scripts, resource guides. It's all there.
Yeah. I try to make it as practical as possible because we need that. Like in the moment when you're freaking out and you're like, how do I do this? We need it to be practical and easy to use. And you don't want to have to Google anything. So instead you could use my book.
So easy. Thank you for making life so easy for us, Greta.
I'm trying.
And what a joy it was to have you here in the studio. Thank up you. Here in Burlington, Ontario, Canada. I'm so glad that you made the trip up to be here in the studio on See Hear Love. So thank you so much. And we'll be praying for you and cheering you on as you travel and speak about this, and looking forward to your next book. But thank you for the courage in sharing your story, your husband, your family's story. Beautiful. And thank you for writing this for us. So appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. We're grateful for our sponsors, Tyndale University and the Canadian Bible Society. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.